It's time for swap meet. Oh yeah, here we go. Oh, another man's junk is another man's treasure, like a gold tape measure. When you were a kid and your fingers in your nose, today you're a picker. Oh, it could be comic books or silverware. As long as it's old, has no mold, there's value there. It's time for Swap Meet with Justin Kaufman
and Greg Flam. He's back in the building. There he is.
Back.
There we go. Greg Flam is here. It's time for Swap Meet. We've had a couple of Thursdays off because of Blackhawks and Northwestern, but it's great to have you back here. 312-981-7200. What do you want to brag about tonight, Chicago? You got memorabilia, collectibles. Let us know what you got, and Greg will let you know what it's worth. You can find him at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, here at WGN. Good to see you, Greg. How you been?
I'm doing great. Great to be back.
How is this time of year? I mean, it's the dead of winter. You wouldn't think so necessarily.
It's going to pick up any week now. It will be full-on garage sale starting pretty soon, a couple weeks. But, you know, you got the flea market on the weekends, and I do estate sales like Wednesdays and, well, Thursdays and Friday mostly, and then the flea market Saturday and Sunday. But yeah, it's starting to pick up a little bit. You can feel the cabin fever setting in.
Eternal.
And people, yeah, you know, people getting geared up.
You just went to an estate sale this week, and you almost had the find of a year of your life.
And you know, this is the second time I found money at an estate sale.
money, straight up, like in a shoebox.
Yeah, and this time it was in a shoebox, and I. The longer story is, so they let I was number 24 in line. They let the first 16 in. So those first 16 people did not find the shoebox.
Okay,
of money.
So an even longer story, estate sales is essentially they want you to come in and this they sell someone's stuff who's recently deceased in some form. But there's a whole community of pickers who come in and you will look through their stuff.
In this case, the first one in line that started the list was there at 4 in the morning to start the list. Yeah, for a 10 a.m. Sale. So I got there about 9:30. I thought, okay, I'll just stand in line, whatever you know happens. But I got number 24 on that list. Anyway, so first 16 go in, nobody sees it. They let 10 more in. I go to the basement because that's usually where my stuff that I like to find is in the basement. And on the bottom shelf, they had like five steel racks of like the industrial shelving with books on them. But all of the first shelf on the bottom were empty except for this one shoebox on the bottom. And I opened it up because that's what I do. And I found a stack of crisp $2 bills. I would say that's $100 right there. Then there was a bunch of half dollars, rolled quarters, probably the silver content like pre-1954 or 56, I think that would be. So, yeah, so I'm estimating it was at least... probably $300 worth of stuff in the shoebox there. So,
and you go in and say, "I'll give you $100 for it."
Yeah. So of course I have the epic battle of devil on one shoulder and angel on the other. And then once I got done with that, I found someone to work there, and they had probably four or five employees at that at that sale. And I said, "Do you work here?" And he's like, "Yes." I'm like, "You might want this," and I just
gave
it to him.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Well, So
I would have bartered. I would have had.
Yeah, they treated me nice. They gave me more than half off of what I would have paid for what I did buy there. So that was cool.
That's absolutely. It's one of my biggest fears, I think, in life is no one's going to find the hidden money I have in my house.
Right. You got the coffee cans in the backyard,
I just have this feeling. I'll be on my deathbed and I'll be like,
I've had
under the bed,
right?
Like, trying to tell my son, check.
Third baseboard from the wall or something. Yeah,
the Shakespeare book is hollowed out.
Yep, and of course when I turned it in, I got to check out. We were joking about all the money stories that happen at estate sales, and the most common place that people hide their money is the valances of curtains and at the bottom of the curtains to weigh down the curtains.
Oh, wow.
And then also the kitchen, coffee pots or not, just pots and pans. They'll put it in there. Those are like the two most common that estate sale people who run the sales say. But yeah,
I like to keep my money in plain, like really obvious, because people walk in and they want to steal my cash. They'd be like, he's definitely got a lot of. He's put a lot of effort into this. I'm like, nope, it's right there.
Right.
It's right.
Right.
Come get it. All right, 312-981-7200. Let's do this. We'll take a break. Yep. And then we'll come back and you got some stuff you brought in.
Yeah, a couple
cool things. 312-981-7200. You can text, you can call. Get in line now to see what some of your memorabilia might be worth. And my favorite part of this, what you want to brag about. That's my favorite. You know what I got? You know what I kept when I moved from place to place to place? This!
Yep, it was worth moving many times.
Earlier, I was thinking about this. It's every time we get together, Greg, I'm always like, oh, yeah, I've got nothing to offer this segment.
And then you remember.
And then I was talking, I think it was my wife, I was like, you know, I got this one thing, and I got to say, I remember I had this since 1986, and I'm like, this would be great for Greg, and then I forget it.
Yep.
And then I swear I'll go home tonight, and I'll be like, go!
Yep.
Rats! Greg Flam is here, 312-981-7200. Stay with us. It's a swap meet. Greg Flam is here at DuPage Picker. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can text, you can call. Greg is here. Greg, first off, let's talk about what you brought in tonight. Then I got some people on the line. I want to get to Bert. I got some texts. We're going to get to it. So what do you got here?
Sure. I went with the basketball theme.
Yes.
Since we're post-Northwestern. 1991 Bulls finals poster that was put up by Chevy and Geo dealers.
Yeah. Back to the Geo.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just cool seeing, you know, the role players at the bottom. You know, you kind of forget about, like, Dennis Hobson or, who else we got here?
This is Craig Hodges. Hodges was on the show with his book. That was great. And, you got a Paxson over there.
Yeah, we got Scott Williams.
Look at how high John Paxson's socks are.
Yeah, those are some pretty high.
Calm down, John.
But yeah, and then I brought the Jordan I'm Back. This was the insert that they used for the newspaper machines. So, and oddly enough, when I looked this up, there were not any on eBay at all.
So they put these in front of the paper to say
on the
back,
frame,
right?
That steel frame. Yeah. They throw those in
when
there,
we were paying 35 cents for that Sun-Times. Right?
Yeah. So I was
able to
grab one
that.
Of those.
That was so good, man. I was on the air at Columbia College to date myself.
At
college. I was doing a disco Friday night show.
All right.
And the news broke that Jordan was coming back. That's all I got.
Party on at that point.
It's like, oh my God, Michael Jordan's coming back. Here she is, and ring my bell, Tanya Bell, or whatever.
There you go, yeah.
Disco Inferno.
So yeah, what was that date? That would be March 19th, 1995.
Wow.
I came back, yeah.
That's awesome.
Something small.
I love that. That's awesome. I remember seeing that and having that. Scottie Pippen having the shoe with the Michael Jordan emblem. That's when sports was fun, wasn't it?
And how he said he was coming back was just via fax.
Yeah.
There was no press conference, nothing.
So
it was
good.
Just fax.
Fax.
Yeah, can you imagine
the best
that?
Part, I wish Michael Jordan would tell us on his end how many times that fax got stuck, didn't go through.
Right.
Like the,
did you have to go to a UPS store or somewhere? Back then it was mailbox, etc.
All right, 312-981-7200. Let's start with Bert. Bert, what do you want to brag about, Bert?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Bert. How about you, man?
All right. Hey, I got three things. I have a platter, a serving platter from South Shore Country Club.
Oh, wow. Mm. I love that place.
It's not there anymore.
Well, the South Shore, what am I thinking about? The South Shore Culture Club, maybe it's not the Country Club. What is the place where it bends there at Lakeshore? South Shore Cultural Center? I thought that was the old Country Club. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
And I also have, but it's got the old emblem on it from South Shore Country Club,
cool.
Right in the center of the platter.
Okay.
And then I have a Zippo lighter with the emblem of the South Shore Country Club on it. And then the other thing I've got is a clock that, kind of hard to explain. It's two-faced. It hangs kind of like the clocks they use in Western movies that's hanging on the wall.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it's got the time and then the month. And it also has the, I call it the certification, but it's a strip of paper in there saying that it's from Seth Clock Company. And it was commissioned in like 1865.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was a good time to make a clock. Right? 1865, the country's coming back together, the war's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is that stuff worth anything?
I would think a clock from 1865 might be, but
yeah, any vintage Zippo lighters are going to be worth something right there off the bat. The platter is a little bit harder, just to give you an idea. A silver creamer from South Shore recently sold for $30. Right. So you're probably in that, maybe a little bit more for the platter. I'm trying to find the clock for you.
All right. Yeah. We'll see on the clock. We'll see what we can find. But Bert, thanks for calling, man. Those are good stuff. Good stuff. Way to start us off.
Yep, strong.
Well, what do I?
Sorry. Okay.
He's just asking. I think he was checking on that. Let's keep moving. Let's move to Tim. Tim, what do you want to brag about, buddy?
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Tim.
Good. How about you?
Good, good. So way back when I was a youngster when Star Wars first opened up,
okay,
the very first one or two days at the theater, they handed out these books. They're like 30 pages long. It folds open. It's pretty large, like 11 by 7 maybe.
Okay.
And it tells the whole story of Star Wars. And I've never seen another one like it. Wow. But I got it like on that first or second day. And I don't know if you've ever seen it or heard of it.
No, I haven't.
Wow,
I'm trying
awesome.
To find
so
it now.
So like essentially we went to the theater and like, hey, here you go. Here's something for coming to the theater. Thanks for coming to the theater. Now it's like...
Exactly.
Now it's the other way around. You got to pay more just to get once you get.
Was it a soft or hardcover book or what was it?
It's a soft cover, but I've kept it in this zippered briefcase ever since I was like a teenager. So it's like brand new. I never even opened it or looked at it. And I didn't know if I could do anything with it or if it might be worth anything.
I'm sure it is worth something. It's just it's hard to look up because you put in Star Wars book and there's so many.
Yeah,
but that's a cool thing to brag about, though, and I didn't even know that they did that.
No, I didn't either. If you can send me a picture to Facebook, I'll try to research that some more for you.
There you go.
Okay, what's the Facebook?
At DuPage Picker. DuPage Picker.
DuPage Picker. Perfect.
You got it. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. 312-981-7200. Let's do some sports stuff here. A lot of sports stuff coming through, right?
Yep.
847 says, I have an original six-peat Bulls championship cap. Ball cap.
6 feet, okay.
With the tag still on it. Pristine. Brandon says it's pristine. 6 feet. So it would probably say 6 feet on it.
Yeah, and it is.
Yeah. I guess that's. I always think about those caricature drawn T-shirts.
Yeah,
with the 6 feet, like the. And didn't Pat Riley try to coin the phrase three-peat?
Didn't didn't he have the rights to three-peat?
Three-peat, right.
Yeah.
From his Laker days?
No, not finding a six-peat.
Six-peat. I love it anyway. Six-peat.
Yeah, you should
wear that now.
Copyright that.
What I would do is I'd cut those tags off and get it out. And
that is how you would roll with that, yeah.
All right, 312-981-7200. Maybe buy two, yeah. Okay, yep. Let's keep going. All right. Maybe you can help. Greetings, Justin and Greg. This is 708. I purchased 5 1989 Fleer Billy Ripken error baseball cards with the FF obscenity.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. In the late 90s for around $7 each for a later investment. Mm-hmm. I'm out of the hobby business now, and I want to unload these. Any chance I'll recoup my cost? Also, maybe a quick history on what that card was.
Yeah, the obscenity was written on the knob of the bat, so he's holding the bat, and on the bottom has the obscenity.
Interesting. Billy Ripken getting edgy.
Yeah,
he was mad at his brother Carl,
and then they caught it, of course, and then they
Carl Ripken.
Yeah.
No, there's a second brother, Carl. It's Cal, Carl, and Billy.
Okay.
Right.
And Carl play baseball. He probably likes like Carl, a lumberjack or something.
He just get his brother so mad.
Yeah. So that was the story behind the FF. If you see a Billy Ripken card says FF, that's what that stands for.
Oh, interesting.
Sadly, he is not going to recoup his money though.
Well, nobody. These aren't like the upside down.
There's a lot of them
airplane.
Online, and yeah, and they are going for about $4.50, including shipping.
$4.50
per card.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
So a bummer to hear.
So you might want to hold on to them a little bit longer.
When you were a kid and you saw that card, you're probably like, "This is gonna buy me a house someday." This is unbelievable that this obscenity got past the guys at Fleer.
Yep,
the censors at Fleer.
Yep, it's funny. Speaking of like stuff that got past the censors, there was a, oh, I'm trying to remember the country TV show, but way back in the 50s, but they took a promo shot and they all had their middle finger sticking out of their pocket.
And, they,
and it got through, and oh, it ended up on a GAF Viewmaster slide.
Oh, that's
so
great.
These are kids looking at this and they all have their, you know.
Yeah, that's probably worth more.
Yeah, I think that was worth a little bit more than the Billy Ripken cut.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more, then we'll take a break here. Yep. Let's go to Joe. Joe's similar. Joe, what do you got? What do you got? What do we want to brag about, Joe?
I got every full set of Topps baseball cards unopened from 1966 to present.
Wow.
Wow.
My uncle, Ted Klazuski, and he got me started by my first set in 66.
Wow, so 1966 to present, full sets of Topps baseball cards. Now, I will say, Joe, the 66 stuff and the seven, all the early stuff is going to be worth a ton more than later, because I'm just picking up what Greg has told us before, mm-hmm. that the full sets got less and less valuable as they became more available, right? The idea, like in the 80s, we all had full sets Topps, and it was like,
right.
What a deal! Well, $30 is going to be great! But they didn't really do, they didn't grow in value, but maybe 1966?
Those early ones will, yes. To give you an idea, 1966 full set are anywhere from 70 to 150, it looks like.
Hmm.
And then I would think it drops off when you get to like after 77, 78, it probably starts dropping off a bit.
Because
they just made more, because they saw how people were collecting, so they made more.
Yeah.
And that drives it.
Well, there you go. A little bit more valuable towards the early part of your collection, not as much later. But awesome that you got the collection all the way to present time. Yeah. Greg Flamm here at DuPage Picker. We'll take a break. We'll take tonight's news, and then we'll come back for the second half of the Swap Meet. Stay with us.
It's time for Swap Meet. Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, another man's junk is another man's treasure, like a gold tape measure. When you were a kid and your fingers in your nose, today you're a picker. Or it could be comic books or silverware. As long as it's old, has no mold, there's value there. It's time for Swap Meet with Justin Kaufman
and Greg Flamm.
All right, here we are.
Sorry, the second half of the Swap Meet starts now. 312-981-7200. Of course, our Thursday night segment, which Greg at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter, will evaluate your memorabilia, your collectible, your junk. And you can call in and tell us what you just want to brag about. Like, I think a little bit of what Bert was doing was bragging about his South Shore Country Club Zippo.
Right.
Which is awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, because there's nothing really compare that,
you know,
some of that stuff to. But
it's obvious. And I didn't get a chance. I wasn't asking him about, like, why he has all that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, member, perhaps. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All right. Let's see. Let's start with, I think 630 is funny. Silver dollars from the 1800s, early 1900s, and a load of $2 bills. Sounds like they got what you gave back.
Right.
But when you're talking about that stuff, when you're getting silver dollars and $2 bills, is that worth more than the actual value of it?
I think that in this case, because the $2 bills were crisp, they were banded together, you know, like I said, it had to be probably 50 of them. But I just for grins, I looked up silver dollars from the year 1800. Those go for 3,000 plus each.
What?
And 1900 go even more, 4,000 plus each.
Why is that?
I
think
know.
That you'd go back.
I know. You think. Yeah, but as we've learned on the swap meet.
There's no rhyme or reason in any of this stuff.
Right.
I wonder about that. I had a friend once that went to the bank and got $2 bills and just, as a bit, would hand out $2 bills whenever they needed to pay for something. It was so annoying.
Right. And working in as you might know, working retail, when you get it, it's like it makes you stop.
Will they take it at this point? Like,
oh, yeah.
If I go to the Gap and I buy a nice shirt?
Yeah, same thing with the dollar coins. I forget the Indian person that was on the dollar coin.
Sacagawea?
Yep. They still got to take those. If you give it to them, they got to take it.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Karen. Karen, what do you want to brag about, Karen?
I have a handwritten letter written by John F. Kennedy during World War II, and it's regarding the boat that was hit, PT-109. It's a letter to the parents of one of the men that was on that boat.
Was he a senator at the time? What was his role?
Well, he was in the Navy, I think, at the time, and was commanding this
Oh, he was a commander. Okay, got it. Wow, how do you have that? Why do you have that?
My father handled the man's estate, and the man didn't know what to do with this letter, so he asked my dad if he wanted it, and Dad said, sure.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing to think that you would have correspondence from John F. Kennedy, a handwritten letter. Talk about brag, right? That's amazing. That's pretty cool.
I can't find any sold John F. Kennedy letters, but there are a couple out there, and they're asking like over $2,000 for it. This letter, of course, should be worth well more than $2,000.
Does it matter that it was done when he was not president?
No, I think it was because I remember, you know, as we've learned, the boat got attacked, and he was talking about that event. So I think that makes it worth more than just a regular letter.
Wow. Has he got cool handwriting?
Well, you can read it.
That's good.
Is there anywhere that I could take it for a true evaluation or put it up for auction or something?
I would look into like Historical Society to have them evaluate it, and then you can go from there, and you could do it online with the auction, but you want to get your education on.
That's a great idea. There's historical societies probably in every town, you know, wherever you're at, but including downtown or Chicago Historical Society, but there's a lot of places you probably could call up and get an appointment to go in and do that.
And I'm sure if you stop in any library, they'll be able to point you in a good direction.
That's an idea, too.
All right. Thank you. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
Karen. Appreciate it. There you go. That's a good one. Good one to start off the second half here, huh? All right. All right. I've got a Ron Santo signed baseball. We went through Ron Santo a lot last couple months, and Ron signed a lot of stuff before he died, right?
Right.
That was a big thing, so it becomes less valuable.
Right.
I'm not trying to take away your spiel here, but I've learned it because we've done this before. It become less valuable because towards the end of his life, when he was a broadcaster, he was signing everything.
Yep.
That's right. Did I get it?
You got it.
And there's only like two Beanie Babies that are really...
There's only two Beanie Babies worth even looking into to see if they're worth anything. And still, they're probably not worth anything. I'm trying to find a baseball. I got a bunch of signed cards. Here we go. You can get a signed Ron Santo ball now for about $28. Just because he signed so many of them.
All right, I like this one. 815's got some kooky 1950s, 1960s industrial art. Now, what this means is it's from the way they explain it, it's from a mall. It's corporate art hung in a corporate building in the 1950s and 60s. I don't know if it's here in Chicago, but it was essentially a huge piece of cast iron industrial metal, and it looks exactly like you'd see in like a 1960s corporate building. It's like a kind of abstract world painting. How do you even do art like that? I mean, because it looks like it'd be worth something, but I don't even know how you even start.
Yeah, that's the thing with art, you know, objective and everything. You just got to try to have it appraised and shoot high because you can always come down.
Yeah.
You know.
What I would do in this case is I'd make up an artist with cool, like just get a picture kind of Andy Warhol style. Like he had really cool glasses back in the 50s. And then he also did a bunch of pop art stuff. He did, Campbell Soup stuff before it was cool.
Yep.
You know, like I would just try to create an abstract avant-garde artist and then be like, nobody knows this stuff, so it's worth $3
million. Right. It's fake it till you make it type thing, you know. You got to sell it, you know.
You got to sell it. All right, keep going. Let's see. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 630 says, I have a Royal Blue Panasonic Tootaloop AM radio from 1972 or 1973. Any value?
Yes, they made it in many colors. It almost looked like an oversized plastic bracelet. but it was a radio. Okay. And it would twist apart so you can put it around your wrist if you
Really, it really was a bracelet kind of
vibe. Yeah. And it would twist apart so you could hang it on whatever shower rod or whatever. But yeah, they're still worth $50 to $70. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so not bad.
How much do you think they were worth at the, when they bought them?
They it was probably like an $8 item when they first came out. But that's something that if I see an estate sale, I try to buy.
Do electronics like that, especially lower-end electronics, do they hold up? Do they sort of amass value?
Yeah, some of that pop culture, you know, like Avon put out radios, you know, anywhere from Mickey Mouse to... just pop culture figures, you know, there's even leading up to the early Transformers radios. They just made a radio out of anything. Yeah. And that stuff, as Ro was talking about earlier, they made radios that just had one station tuned in.
Yeah, right.
You know, like WGN, and that's all you could get on the radio. So,
oh, to have those radios once again.
Yep.
Maybe we can maybe get some deals in cars.
Right. Start talking to some people. Right. And, you know.
There's only one preset. Right. It's so new. It's so 2018. It's so, there's only one preset in your car.
Be like in a new Tesla. Be like one preset. Right.
So
and it will just be like Tesla radio.
Right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are here doing the swap meet tonight. Greg Flam is in the building. We'll take a quick break, our last one of the night, and we'll come back and we will get to all your texts and phone calls. So stay with us. It's Download 720 WGN Swap Meet. Greg Flam is here at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter. We got so much stuff to get to, so let's do it. Let's start with Joanne. Joanne, what do you want to brag about, Joanne?
Well, I don't know if it's so much bragging, but I have my original Easy Bake oven from the 1960s in the original box.
Wow. Yes, that's a it's a beauty of a brag.
It is.
That's my favorite brag of the night.
All right. And
thank you.
And they go for about 150 and up, depending. You got to have all the accessories that it came with, everything. So if you have it all and it's in the box, you're probably looking at more than 150.
Yeah.
But really? That's kind of what they're going for.
Where would I go to try to sell it?
I would just go online, have a family member, you know, list
Joan,
it for you.
I have to say, maybe I can pull some resources here, and I'll offer you 200, but you have to use it to make treats for me and Pete and Greg.
Right.
You don't want to know. I'm just wondering if I'll bet you the damn thing still works.
Yeah, well,
it probably does.
It was funny. It cooked with a light bulb.
Yeah, right.
That was awesome.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
So about 150, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you might want to shoot. Definitely do an auction if you do start at 150. But I would maybe go maybe higher. You know, like 179 and start there.
Really?
There you go.
Yep. If it's right. Complete as you
wonderful.
Said.
Wonderful.
Thanks,
so Joe.
Yep. Have thanks for listening.
Night. Thank you. All right, keep going here. Let's see. We've got a lot of stuff. All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
Let me start from the... There's a ton of text here. All right. I have a quart of beer and a ceramic Ham's Bear. Worth anything?
Yeah, that...
We get that all the time, don't we?
Yeah, and I can't remember what it was. No, I know what it is. I just can't remember what it was worth.
Was Ham's the... From the land of sky blue...
Yeah, and the bear was called Sasha.
Yeah, we did this. Bear, yeah. People went crazy and texted in the whole lyrics for me.
Yep. I'm going to guess about 100 at the most.
Wow.
Anywhere from $50 to $100, it looks like.
815 says, I have my grandfather's discharge papers from World War I. Mm. Worth anything? Oh, that's awesome. That's a good brag, too.
That is.
I mean, Joan had an Easy Bake oven in the box, but discharge papers from World War I, that's intriguing. Yep. Does that kind of stuff go for anything? I mean, do you have to be a celebrity to have that kind of thing be worth value?
So many people collect military. So I'm sure that would go. Yeah. I'm looking online. There, some people are asking $400-$500 for discharge papers.
You know what we should do? I just realized what we should do, Pete. You might like this. Mm. I feel like we should try to give away a pizza to like the person who's got the best brag. We're not going to do it tonight. It's too late. We don't have the stuff lined up. I feel like when we do swap meet, because that's, I just realized there's a lot of competition. Joan with the Easy Bake Oven. Mm-hmm. The right away at the top, we had Bert gave us the stuff about the South Shore Country Club. This one, maybe my favorite, 630, although it's hard to beat Joan. This is 630 saying, I have a 1970s kangaroo hand puppet with a baby Joey finger puppet from Continental Bank that was on LaSalle Street. Come on, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's amazing.
And that is more rare than all the Hubert stuff you see.
Because
they put so much Hubert stuff out that it, that drove the value down, where the kangaroo is going to be worth a little bit more, I'm sure. I'm trying to get you a price on that.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's worth a Lou Malnati's pizza. I mean, if you're going to be breaking out. So maybe that would be incentivized, Pete, the idea that people would come up with. It had to be something that would play to the sensibilities of the Chicago area.
Yep. It's total Chicago,
312 says they got a Miller Time clock, early 70s, lights up. It's on the wall behind my bar at home.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
that's good. We've had those, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably 250 and up.
Wow. Jeez. My dad had a load of stuff from The Incredibles. What's Incredibles? Is that like one of the dancing groups from the Bulls?
Wasn't that like Disney Pixar, The Incredibles?
Well, that's Incredibles, but this is Bulls.
Oh, like, okay, Bulls basketball, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's not the Lovables. Maybe that's what he means, but The Incredibles.
Hmm.
Is that like a... Was that the big guys? The guys
that they stumped me?
What were those guys
called? The guys that did the trampoline stuff.
Those trampoline guys, they still do that. Like, they dunk the ball.
Didn't
the Bulls for a while have a bunch of overweight guys who were like, they're the something Bulls.
Wasn't it like a Blues Brothers theme they did, though?
That's entirely different. That's another different one. All right, let's go to Sharon. Sharon, what do you want to brag about, Sharon?
6 degrees of...
Yeah, right?
Well, my late father-in-law happened to have been best friends with Charles Biro, who created the Daredevil comic.
What?
Oh, wow.
So I have one photograph of Charles Biro that he dedicates to him and says, to my best friend, Fred Herendeen, the real Daredevil, thanks for the many inspirations, Charles Biro.
Wow.
Fred told Charles that he was worried about his son because he wore glasses and he was kind of an intellectual. And so Biro created a whole series called The Little Wise Guys that they incorporated into the Daredevil comic books.
Wow.
And I have a hand-drawn by Biro of the Daredevil, and he says, "Hiya, Johnny. Glad to see you well and healthy. You know, I'm looking for a partner, and his name could be Johnny."
Then
it's dedicated to Johnny Herendeen with loads of luck for the future, Biro.
Wow, that's an awesome story.
That is awesome. That's great. Daredevil, and you would think that that would be worth something because Daredevil, of course, isn't Daredevil on Netflix? Don't they have a whole thing about Daredevil on Netflix? Am I the only... Really? I'm going to be the guy on this show that brings you the comic book news? Me? I know more than you, Greg, and yes, Pete.
And not a Netflix guy, sorry.
No, but Daredevil is...
Sharon,
isn't Daredevil on Netflix right now? Isn't that the thing?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Nope.
Is this related to... It's not related to the Stan Lee Marvel Daredevil.
It's the same one, right?
It's separate.
Oh, the Daredevil on...
Is a newer version
the one on Netflix?
I think that's a newer version. Yeah.
Yeah, it's of course a newer version, but I'm just saying it's still the based on the character that was created by Marvel. Anyway, well, I'm getting off track. What is something like that worth?
A comic book alone of the original Daredevils has gone for anywhere from $50 to $150. This would probably be more than that. Because, you know, it's almost like an introduction of a new character, you know, with that. And that's really an amazing story. And if you could, you know, present that in some kind of, a frame or anything like that, that would,
I love it.
That would be great.
Thanks, Sharon. That was awesome.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
That's going to do it tonight. We're out of time. Yep. But I wanted to say there's a lot of great stuff. There's an antique cookie jar. There's a working Thumbelina doll. I've got a bunch of baseball and 1972 Cubs. So call back next week when we do this, or next time we do the swap meet. Just do it a little bit earlier. You guys always do it at 10:55. Throw it on there like, "Oh, I got an idea. I'll throw it to Justin at 10:55. We ran out of time. Greg Flamm, at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter. You can find him here on The Download every Thursday night when there isn't Blackhawks or White Sox. But, of course, also on Facebook and Twitter at DuPage Picker. Greg, great to see you, buddy.
Good to be here. Thanks.